Welcome into your Sharp Money on a Sunday night. Just wrapping up the Patriots and the Ravens. Another great primetime game. Been treated to some nice island games this week. That continues tomorrow night. We will cover that game last after we've talked about all the results from this week, all the look-aheads for next week. Special holiday edition here. I am Mike Somich. He's Aaron Halterman. That's not Patrick Maher over there. That's Aaron Halterman, my buddy from VSiN at the Track. He's jumping in, filling in for Patrick as he heads back to Michigan to enjoy the holidays. Aaron, how we doing, buddy? How was your week 16 NFL action?
It was great. Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I'm really proud to be on here. I listen to the show all the time, of course. I am very lucky to call you and Patrick a friend of mine, our friend, you know, and so that's always great. And listen, if people are watching on YouTube, Mike, they knew this wasn't Patrick. I can't live up to that level of what would you call it even, Mike?
I mean, you should have shown up in a wig, if we're being honest. Like the wig with the man bun, that would have been the way to really own the stage. You're also not standing and you're wearing something besides a t-shirt. So that it also does not fit, but it's okay. We'll give it a pass this week.
Yeah, I didn't dress up real great for this. I'm noticing now. I'm like, oh, I have a hoodie on, but it's late. Hey, it's late where I'm at. It's like 10:30, Mike. So this is going to be good. No, look, I'm gonna do my best. I'm gonna take over his role as best I can. I'm not gonna be as good as him. I'm gonna tell you that because he's a pro and I am not. But I think we're gonna have fun on the show anyway because we always work together pretty darn well. You said it. Let's start Saturday. So we'll talk about Thursday in a minute. But let's talk Saturday. Let's talk Eagles Commanders here, Mike. There's been a lot of drama around the Eagles. But here we sit, 10-5 division champs. What were your thoughts?
I don't even know what to do with this Eagles team, man. Like, this is the thing, is that people came in last week, we hear, oh, they beat the Raiders. That's great. Now this week, it's like, okay, you beat the Commanders, but you weren't really impressive. Let's be honest, this was a close game at half, and really the fourth quarter is where the Eagles were able to create any type of margin. You see A.J. Brown go for 95, Barkley goes for 132, 48 of that on a single run, though. I'm not scared of them. I still don't know who they are, and we're 16 weeks into the season. The defense is great. The offense, I don't trust at all.
I don't think you can, and I don't think they've given us anything to trust them. I mean, I think if you're an Eagles fan, an Eagles backer, say you have a future ticket on the Eagles, you're like, hey, they're getting better. Look at this. These last 2 weeks, they've been really, really good. Okay, Raiders, yeah. I think you and I, and we get 9 other guys, we might be able to compete with the Raiders. Commanders, you know, honestly, Mariota hasn't been that bad for a backup quarterback, Mike. That wasn't the worst win Saturday. They had to come from behind, so they showed a little bit, but still, it's the Commanders.
The Commanders' defense stinks. They're the 32nd ranked defense over the last 6 weeks. It's just they can't stop the run. They can't stop the pass. And yet, you said it, the Eagles had to come from behind in this game. That's why it's like I cannot see them playing in this style to be able to make another Super Bowl run. This feels a lot more like the vibes from 2 years ago when they flamed out and ended up losing in Tampa than it does like the vibes last year where you did have Saquon being dominant. He's just not the same. You still aren't healthy on the offensive line. Lane Johnson misses this game. There just wasn't all of the pieces that I wanted. And now, who knows what effort we get, because they did lock up a playoff berth here, and now it's just a seeding issue, but they're probably locked in to the 3 at this point, because the AFC South or NFC South winner gets the 4. They're not getting the 1 or the 2. So do we even get to see the Eagles again?
Yeah, it's a good point, and you're right. I tried to make a positive, like, hey, they came back, and that was great, and they're on the road, and you're like, yeah, but they were behind to begin with, which is kind of ridiculous there. In a game that, hey, they clinched the division. If they win the game, you'd think they'd come out really motivated. It took a while, the fourth quarter before they got going. Let's talk about a little bit better game, and that was the other game on Saturday. This was an amazing game. The Packers and the Bears, somehow, some way, I'm still not sure how they did it, Mike. The Bears get the biggest win they've had in a long time. Were you on the edge of your seat for this game, or were you just sleeping through 3.5 quarters of this thing?
Well, that's the thing. I almost turned this game off.
Yeah.
Because, like, Jordan Love goes out. The Packers are ahead 6-0 at half. Just a miserable first half. Love gets hurt in the third quarter. You're like, all right, this is cooked. Like, we'll see what happens here. The Bears just decide out of nowhere, hey, we're gonna care here in the fourth. They just put up 13 points. You have a field goal late, an onside kick that actually works. They recover it. Then you have a fumble on 4th-and-1 in overtime by the Packers. DJ Moore walks this puppy off. Like, good win for the Bears. It feels like the Packers blew another one. The Bears win 22-16, cover every number, total goes under. I mean, I don't feel like I learned a ton about either of these teams. I was impressed with the Packers defense, sans Parsons. I thought that was a positive for them. Obviously, Jordan Love, incredibly important. Packers probably win if he was in there. They probably should have won anyway. But you got to like at least the Caleb Williams show some hoofsta at the end. Like, you need to have those guts to be able to improve and win. And I thought that he played well in the fourth quarter after being meh through the majority of the game.
Yeah, you said it. He really made some huge plays at big moments after doing pretty much nothing for a lot of that game. It was such a crazy game, too, because the wind was really playing a big factor, and the Bears kept having to make field goals just to hang in the game, keep it a one possession, keep the pressure on. He would kick it, and it'd be like, what's way outside of the uprights, and it would just blow in. It was an incredible job, incredible special teams, like you said. I believe the graphic showed up right before they kicked the onside kick, like 4 out of 47 this year in the NFL for onside kicks. And then, boom, right when that graphic hits, they kick it, they get it. To me, I learned more about the Packers in this game and just kind of, you do give them credit in some regards. Like they fought on with the backup quarterback. They tried to hang in the game, and they were there, but it was just the epic kind of collapse. And look, it was a defense that played great until they needed to get a big time stop, and they never could get it, even though the Bears tried to give them a ton. But when they really had to get that stop, they just couldn't do it.
Yeah, the 4th and 4, the touchdown that they were able to score at the end, you were just waiting for that moment, waiting for them to get that stop, just like you said, not able to make it happen. The Bears clinch a playoff berth, but not the division. They have to win one of their last two. Unfortunately for them, the last two are at the Niners versus the Lions. Both teams that very much have a lot to play for in those two football games. So it's going to be interesting watching the Bears down the stretch. I still don't believe in this team. I'm not in on it. I do think that they next year could be very good, but it feels a little too early, especially with what else you have in the NFC.
Well, I think this year's been a good year for them, no matter what happens. And listen, I know they got to make the playoffs. That makes it over the top, but this is a very good building block. I think you're right. Looking at next year, they should improve. But listen, they're going to have an opportunity here. I think they're going to get one of these last two games. I think they'll be in good shape for the playoffs. Let's go to Sunday, though. Let's keep rolling. First game we'll talk about, a team that's always fun to talk about, the Browns. The Browns hosted the Bills to kick off here on Sunday. Of course, do the Bills cover? No, because the Browns always play these type of games, I feel like, where it's close. No matter, if they're hosting the worst team like Tennessee or they're playing the Bills, it's always a 3 or 7 point game. Bills win 23-20.
Yeah, nice to get this one over the 41.5 total, which I was saying was too low all week. They put up 30 in the first half and then forget to score for a minute there, which made me pretty nervous. But a late field goal by the Browns to make this a 3-point game pushes the total over there. You mentioned the Bills don't cover any number in this game. Never really looked like they were going to cover any number. The Browns went out, got an early lead, and then just kind of hung around in this game. And the Bills offense not able to put them away. Josh Allen. RIP Josh Allen fantasy teams, because he picked the wrong week to have the worst possible game for him. Cook, huge in this game, 16 for 117 and 2 touchdowns. Leading receiver at 38 yards for either team. That kind of tells you what type of game this was. I'm not going to take much out of this. The Browns played pretty spirited at home. The Bills kind of slept walk through it, but did enough to get the victory. Good on them. Not a bad effort considering the what they have in front of them here. So I'm not going to adjust either of these teams. I don't take too much away from this game, except I do feel bad for Josh Allen fantasy owners.
Yeah, I know. I second that for sure. Thankfully, I didn't have him. I've had him previous years, not this year. Yeah, the Browns, my only takeaway from this is you watch the Browns week in and week out, and it's like, how have they not figured out the other side of the ball, talking about offense? Because this defense is really good. No matter who they play, it's tough for them to move the ball. You get Josh Allen coming in here. He's played so well. He struggles here in Cleveland. That's just how it is. But I'm with you. There's not a whole lot to talk about here. Let's go ahead.
What's your Shedeur Sanders take?
It's really, I'm on the, I think you give him a shot next year. I would say
I think,
that. I would
I think
go
he might
far.
Be good. I think he I might think, be good. And I can't believe I'm saying it.
There's two issues, not even issues, just question marks I have. He's gotten into the season, the part of the season where everybody's like, oh, it's the Browns. It's an easy win. Right. And so he's not, I don't think he's getting everybody's best shot. The other part of it is, it's like when you look at the quarterback play in Cleveland before he got the job, it was like Dillon Gabriel was brutal. Right. It is the same situation, the rookie quarterbacks. And then you get Shedeur in there and it's like, this isn't brutal like this. You can watch this team and go, well, that's not terrible, right?
Yeah, it awful for them to lose Judkins in this game. He looked like he was doing well. He broke his leg. I mean, terrible loss there. But you look at like Isaiah Bond all of a sudden making plays, Fannin playing well with Shedeur Sanders out there. He's using his legs to move the chains. Like, he is clearly the best quarterback on that roster. 100% the best quarterback right now that the Cleveland Browns could roll out. You couldn't say that at the start of the season. I think people expected not to be able to say that when he started 2 weeks ago. And he has definitely progressed more than anyone else on this team.
Yeah, he has more haters than anybody I've ever seen. And I've never, you know, I don't know him personally, obviously, but I've never seen anything out of the guy that would make you hate him. Yeah, I know, right? I'm breaking news there. That me and Shador, we didn't exchange numbers or anything, but I don't know why people hate him, but they do. And it doesn't make any sense to me.
He's polarizing. I think that is the correct way to put it. Like, people either are like over the moon backing him, like completely out of their mind, or like just no matter what he does, it's going to be terrible. And I feel like I have pretty neutral emotions about the Sanders family and Shador Sanders. I was not expecting a lot. I think he has played well.
Yeah, I agree. And look, as a guy that's watched Dylan Gabriel in college, you know, for 2 years at Oklahoma, I knew he was better than him. And I like Dylan, but he's not an NFL guy. So, yeah. All right.
He didn't cash my Heisman ticket. I don't like Dylan.
Well, that's on you for betting Dylan Gabriel to win the Heisman. But we'll carry on, Mike. We don't want to bag on you here. Let's go Chargers Cowboys next. Well, for whatever reason, the Chargers were underdogs again this week. They were underdogs in Kansas City last week, outright win. Underdogs against the Cowboys this week, for some reason, outright win 34-17. I'm really starting to like this Chargers team.
More than one thing can be true. The Chargers' offensive line can be atrocious, and their offense can be good. And I don't think people are able to put those two things together, because Herbert goes for 300 yards, runs for another 40 plus in this game, and the offense just hums along and keeps moving the football. Now, the Cowboys don't have the best pass rush in the world. Will this offensive line work when you run into teams with good pass rushes, like Houston, like Denver, both in your conference? Could be a problem. Against the Cowboys, not a problem. The Chargers able to just consistently throw the football all day long against this Dallas offense. And the Dallas team came out with no chance to make the playoffs in this game. You didn't see the same effort from them, especially in the second half, as they just got their doors blown off them. Chargers win 34-17. You've mentioned it. Win is a dog. Game goes over. Fun football game. But I'm surprised as this was the Chargers as being dogs. We'll see what happens moving forward and how the market adjusts on them.
Yeah, we'll talk about the big game coming up next week, them and Denver. It's going to be huge. We'll talk about Denver here in a second, too, and why that game's even bigger than maybe it could have been. But, yeah, look, I agree. And, you know, you with your assessment of the offensive line, it's going to be the biggest thing that's going to hold them back. And you just go back to a couple weeks ago when they were playing the Eagles. And it's just like, I don't think Herbert's going to last this game. I mean, you know, he's tough as hell coming out there with a broken finger and still playing and just getting beat up. He showed so much, even though like the stats aren't going to show that really for Justin Herbert in that Eagles game a couple weeks ago. He showed the toughness. But again, you are right. It showed the weakness of, we got to have something going on here with this offense. We got to have a better way to protect this guy. We got a better play calling around it. Maybe they will scheme around it once they get to the playoffs. We'll see. So, I don't know. Like, I look at this and you go, do you trust, like you said, you don't really trust anybody. This team with this coach, I just think they're building something, Mike.
Defense is number four in the NFL in the last 6 weeks as well. So, like, the defense has been very good, was able to hold the Cowboys team to 17 here again. Not the best Cowboys effort, but they were still able to hold them down to 17, something that other teams have struggled with in the past. So, everybody is live in the AFC. And the other argument that you could make, Justin Herbert's going to be the second-best quarterback in the AFC playoffs. Yeah. Like, Lamar's not going to be in. You're not going to have Mahomes. You're not going to have Burrow. It's going to go Allen, and then you could argue between May and Herbert for second-best quarterback in the AFC playoffs.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And speaking of Mahomes, let's go to the next game. Not Mahomes. He was not here. And it definitely showed, Mike. The Tennessee Titans 26, the Kansas City Chiefs 9. Just like we all thought, right? We all thought that would happen. This was on paper was going to be a horrible game. It was even worse than what the paper told us.
Hopefully everyone caught Ready, Set, Bet yesterday, where Matt Brown and I were talking about laying 13.5 with the Titans and getting huge plus money. This is like, look, this was just a dead spot for the Chiefs. We talked like this. They're out of the playoffs for the first time after making 7 straight AFC title games. Mahomes gets hurt. You have just like dudes opting out like it's a bowl game. Rashee Rice doesn't play. Their top cornerback doesn't play. You have Chris Jones jumping on the injury report randomly. You lose an offensive lineman. Like this just Chiefs team is just done for the year. And now you lose Minshew to an ACL as well. So you're going to have the third string quarterback from South Dakota State, who had thrown one NFL pass prior to today, who came in, and that's Chris Adulikun. Like, I got nothing. I want no interest in this Chiefs team. We will talk about the difference in the line, which is hilarious, on the Christmas game between Denver and Kansas City, which jumped quite a bit. And I'm not taking too much away from Tennessee on this one either. This was probably a game they should have lost, because now they no longer hold the number one pick.
Yeah, you're right about that. And look, I think Cam Ward has been somewhat positive this year, and then that's it for the Titans, right? So at least maybe they've got a quarterback this season. I actually thought when Gardner Minshew, was out there, I thought this might turn into a little bit of a back and forth, because Minshew's got a little spunk. When he gets hurt, this was just like, don't turn this back over there again, right? I mean, what is there to see at that point?
Wrap it up, right? We'll see if Kelsey decides to play now that you're down to your third-string quarterback in these last two games. There's a bunch of stuff here that I think is interesting to watch on this Chiefs team, and how far they're going to fall, because it's not going to be a pretty final two games without your starter or your backup.
Nope, it's going to be kind of a rebuild in the offseason for the Chiefs. All right, speaking of not a whole lot to see here, the Bengals and the Dolphins were next, and this Joe Burrow situation in Cincinnati is very interesting. You kind of went into this thinking, I don't know, is he kind of quit? Well, they put up 45 on the Dolphins, who looked like they kind of have quit, Mike. 45-21, Bengals beat the Dolphins. What were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, Bengals cover every number. Game flies over, obviously. It was a competitive game in the first half. It was 17-14 going to the break, and then the Dolphins had a fumble, two interceptions, and a turnover on downs in the third quarter, which resulted in 21 Bengals points, and all of a sudden this game was over. I don't have any big-time takeaways on the Bengals side. They kind of are what we thought they were heading into this week. I think the key thing to talk about here is Quinn Ewers and what you think of his performance. I thought he was not bad. Like, he didn't look scared. He was able to throw the football downfield. Yes, he had the two picks in the third quarter. Those aren't great. But the first half, I was fine with him quarterbacking the Dolphins. I didn't see a big drop-off from Tua to him. He was pushing the ball downfield. He was trying to find open receivers. I don't have an issue with Quinn Ewers starting the rest of the season here for this Dolphins team. And I actually think there might be more upside for the Dolphins with Ewers in the lineup versus what we saw from Tua.
Yeah, he wasn't bad at all. And, you know, this is a guy, you know, obviously he played in Texas, and so he's played against great competition. And, you know, sometimes that definitely will help when you get to the NFL. Arm strength is always going to be my big question with him. But you're right, he didn't look so bad at all. I'll ask you, because you're kind of a Dolphins fan, are you, like, if you start game one next year with Quinn Ewers, is that an okay plan to you, or do you think they got to address that situation?
So it depends on the offseason. I think the Dolphins need to strip it down to the studs. And I am actually kind of up in the air about how I feel about Mike McDaniel and whether or not he should be fired, because he was literally hired to make Tua good. He made Tua good to the point where they paid him hundreds of millions of dollars, and then Tua became limited and the offense kind of got figured out a little bit. We don't know what a McDaniel scheme looks like with a quarterback with a big arm and that can move, because we just have never seen that, never had that. I think if the Dolphins can't draft someone, I have no interest in going into the free agency market. I think Tua is your backup next year, and you roll out Quinn Ewers if you don't get a rookie quarterback. And if you do, maybe it's Tua for a game or two, and then you bring in the rookie. Like, but I don't. They need to start being bad so they can be good again. The Dolphins have been middling for way too long, and you never get a high enough draft pick. The one time we did, we drafted Tua, and that didn't work out. But to me, you have to be bad in the NFL if you don't have a quarterback and you want to be good again.
Yeah, it's just one of those teams that feels like they're going to go 8-9 or 9-8 every year, you know. And so maybe sometimes it's 10-7, maybe sometimes it's 7-10, but they're always right there. I totally agree. Yeah, we'll see what happens with the Dolphins. I will say this for McDaniel. I thought he was so done. I thought he was the first coach to get fired, honestly. And they have re-rallied a little bit. I know the last 2 weeks haven't been very good, but I think it does show some. They didn't quit on him. So I agree. Maybe give him another year and see what happens. All right. Another brutal game. It's either been a great game or a brutal game this week in the NFL. Jets and Saints next year. And this is the Jets have clear talk about quitting. They've clearly quit. Saints have not. They're still playing well. 29-6 down in New Orleans. The Saints beat the Jets.
This is a Shuck podcast. So I don't want to hear any negativity around the Saints. We've got some nice Rookie of the Year numbers on him. We talked about him last week for Rookie of the Year again at 25-1. You know, Shuck could end the season with a winning record as a starting quarterback on the New Orleans Saints. That's pretty crazy, folks. They've now won three straight. We talked about laying four on this podcast earlier this week. That closed at 7. Just all the steam in the world behind the Saints here. And guess what? They don't disappoint. They cover every number. This has been the ninth best defense since week 10. They've been top 5 in pressure rate over the last 4 weeks in the NFL. All of a sudden, the Saints defense is showing something. Shuck goes 32 for 49, 308 and a touchdown. Olave goes 10 for 148 and two tutties. I think the Saints are actually a decent team. I think they're like masquerading as a bad one because of what we saw early in the season. But I think Shuck is a legitimate NFL quarterback. Not saying like top 5. But I think you're looking at, like, unfortunately for the Saints, like a Tua-ish situation where it's like he's probably the 18th best quarterback in the NFL and he might get to 12th, but he's never going to really ascend up to the top 5, which is fine, especially if you're just looking to cover some numbers late in the season and win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, from a betting standpoint, you definitely, I think, when you're a better, you have a better idea of, you know, what is the actual talent level of this guy, whether it be quarterbacks or whatever. And you're right, he's a guy, when you watch him play, even though they've been out of it for weeks, man, he is out there chucking it. Like, and he's got some mobility. Mm-hmm. I was really shocked because I watched him a lot at Louisville last year. And I was just like, yeah, I mean, he's okay. Like, you know, I didn't think he would be an NFL quarterback, I guess what I'm trying to say. And it is kind of interesting. And you're right. Like, Spencer Rattler started the year here for the Saints. And it was a disaster, let's be honest. And things were going south in a hurry. Shuz just brought something to this. It feels like to me, he's rallied the team around him, which that is a big, big trait for a quarterback, obviously. It just feels like they're playing harder than they were before as well. And you're right. They've got a couple of playmakers, and all of a sudden they're getting the ball in good spots. So, yeah, I'm with you. Listen, I don't think it's a far-fetched at all that this guy's going to be a starter next year for sure. And he might be a top 15 quarterback when we're sitting here next year.
At Titans, at Falcons to end the season. They've won 3 in a row. They're going to beat the Titans. The at Falcons, I think they're the better football team. We'll see if they're able to get the job done because there is some talent, but it's going to be Kirk Cousins most likely out there for Atlanta. So we'll see what can happen there. But this could be a New Orleans team that wins the last 5 and it has a little signs of life heading into next season.
Yep. No, absolutely. All right. Signs of life. Let's go to that theme as we talk about the Vikings, who were just not great at all. They're starting to get a little bit better here as the season goes along. Vikings go to another team that's lifeless, the Giants today, and they go into New York and they win. Vikings 16, Giants 13. J.J. McCarthy's still pretty rough, but the Vikings get another win.
J.J. McCarthy exits the game because he forgot to throw the football on a screen pass and just held on to it and got absolutely destroyed by Brian Burns. He fumbles it and he gets returned for a touchdown. That was the only touchdown of the game for the Giants. Max Brosmer comes in. He's fine. Gets the job done. Gets him a field goal in the third quarter or in the fourth quarter. I thought Jefferson was good. Addison dropped a pass again. They were able to run the football. McCarthy honestly wasn't bad, except for the fact that he held on to the ball a little too long a couple times. He had one interception, but that was a drop by Jalen Naylor, who then dropped another one later that got returned for a touchdown, but fortunately that got taken off the board because of a penalty. So I didn't think McCarthy was bad. We'll see if he's back next week. To me, if he's back, there's some life on this Vikings team because I do think he has been better this stint than the early stint. If not, I mean, I got no interest in betting Max Brosner, and we'll have to see what the number is for them moving forward. The New York Giants, I officially don't know what they're doing. Why are you starting Jackson Dart and then not throwing the football for the first 17 played calls on the offensive side? Like, isn't the whole point you want him to learn to be a pocket passer? Why don't you let him throw the ball from the pocket? This is a Vikings defense you could learn a lot against because they're bringing blitzes. They're exotic coverages. They give him experience against a hard situation and tell him to just chuck it around. They clearly didn't want him running 2 for 7 today, but they didn't want him throwing either as he was 7 for 13 for 33 yards.
I have no words. I really don't. You know, when they got Jackson Dart when they started Jackson Dart, I should say, there was about a 6-game stretch, you would say, Mike, where it's like, this is kind of an exciting team. Are they winning? No. But you know what? A team that has been lifeless for seemingly years. I know there was a good season mixed in there. They have a little life. They're kind of fun. And you're right. It's just like, and Scadaboo getting injured, that was part of the downfall of it. But also just, it just feels like to me, they're almost just like, let's just lose out and get the number one pick. Like, today's effort was pathetic by the coaching staff, I thought.
Well, Well, the thing, you don't have a head coach right now, right? Dable gets fired. It's your interim head coach. Like, you can tell the game plan, it wasn't good. Like, there was no real, you didn't see a specific area you were trying to attack on the Vikings defense. Don't tell me you were trying to attack the run game against them. You averaged 4.3 a carry and you didn't stay committed to it at certain points during the game. Like, I got no interest in the Giants. And we'll see. Interesting one to look ahead, because they could be a team that you want to back or fade, depending on who they're playing in the number. So we'll rip through all those Week 17 games here at the end once we get through the Week 16 games.
All right, let's roll right along. And this one, actually, you'll be surprised to hear, put a smile on my face. The Panthers beat the Buccaneers 23-20. I'm a big Oklahoma football fan, so I like Baker Mayfield for the Bucs. I kind of follow them. However, my money is more important than my fandom, Mike, because I bet the Panthers to win this division in the offseason. And we're almost home. We're almost there. Panthers win 23-20, mainly because Mayfield has fallen off a cliff the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Well, good job by you betting the Panthers. I have the Bucs to win the division. Interesting enough,
you still may win it. You still may
Panthers,
get that bet.
I was going to say, the Panthers only 41% to win the division after today, the Bucs still control their own destiny, despite just shooting themselves in every possible foot they could. They have the game against the Panthers to the end of the season, so that is most likely going to decide the division, assuming the Bucs don't lose next week. I was really disappointed in the Bucs. I don't think the Panthers played very well. Bryce Young didn't look great. Ends up with .91, 2 touchdowns. This was a problem with the Bucs offense still. And it's a problem around Baker Mayfield, who clearly is playing injured. He is playing with something that's going to be needed to address in the offseason. And I was hoping that the talent around him would make him look better again, because we saw Mike Evans have a breakout week last week. It didn't help. Like, he's just missing throws. Doesn't feel like they're not the same confidence, the same swagger when he's throwing the football. You can tell that he is more pushing it on certain throws as well versus really delivering it forward. This is just a tough Bucs team to handicap, because we cannot assume we're going to get good Baker for the rest of the year. We have to assume this is the version of Baker that we are stuck with.
Well, and you're right. You know, I kind of had that same thought. I was like, hey, they're going to win this division. They got Mike Evans back. And it's like they were getting really, really healthy. Bucky Irving got back. And it just hasn't come together. And you're right. It's a Baker Mayfield problem right now. You know, they still had chances to win this, all kinds of chances, I should say, to win this game. And you're like, look, I really thought my big handicap of the Panthers, I thought Bryce Young would kind of make a big step this year. I thought we kind of saw last year, he got through a lot of, you know, just, it was tough, right? And he started to look really pretty good. I don't really think he has progressed that much. Mm-hmm. I mean, he hasn't went backwards, but I think at this point now, it's almost like, that's just kind of who this guy is. He's kind of that middling type of quarterback. He's kind of limited the mistakes here lately, and that's really been the difference. But I'm with you. It's more of a Tampa problem. You look at the rosters, even though I think the Panthers are better this year roster wise as a whole, it's still the Buccaneers division to win. They still should be right there, and they maybe still do it. But it was very, very disappointing. And like you said, Mayfield has the ball in his hands with a chance to win, like they did almost every week early in the season. They can't make those plays right now.
Mm-mm. I mean, the last play, him and Evans, the miscommunication, just like, those guys don't miscommunicate. That's not supposed to happen. And I don't know whose fault it is. It looked like Evans actually ran the correct route, because he ducked in because there's a cornerback to his outside. Baker threw it outside. But I think this is a more talented Panthers or Bucs roster than the Panthers. So I disagree with you on that front. But I think that at the current version of Baker, the talent gap is very minimal. Whereas if he is fully healthy, I think the talent gap is much wider. As for Bryce Young, you hit the nail on the head. He was progressing late last year, looked like he could be a top 10 NFL quarterback. He is, like, I keep referencing Tua. He is Tuaing the Panthers. You cannot win a Super Bowl with Bryce Young. Period, end of story. Unless he goes up 2 or 3 levels. And at this point, why would you expect him to go up 2 or 3 levels when he basically regressed from the end of last year to this year, and he has not gone up any level during this season?
Yeah, no, the jump was this year, if you're going to see it. And it just hasn't happened. And there hasn't even been like, oh, here's a flash of 2 or 3 games. And then he kind of goes, but no, it's just, he's the same guy.
With better weapons this year. With better, like, you got Tet McMillan. You went out and spent draft capital to make this team better. And he's the same or worse. Like, you can't, like, what do you expect to happen in the future that's magically going to fix this?
Yep. No, I'm with you 100% on that one. All right, let's go. This was on paper one of the best games of the week, and it kind of turned into a laugher. The Jaguars go into Denver, a place that has been very tough for opponents to go in there. So tough that they haven't lost at home until today. Jaguars 34, Broncos 20, Mike. How about this?
Flies over the 46.5 total. Jags win as a 3.5-point dog. Denver takes a ton of money late in this game. First half was awesome. Jacksonville goes into the half up 17-10. They get a field goal late to be able to extend that lead out to 7. Denver gets the ball out of the second half. They go down, score a touchdown, and that's when Jacksonville took over. They respond quickly with a touchdown of their own. You get a quick Denver punt. They score again, and then there's a fumble. You get a field goal, and all of a sudden this game is just feels like it kind of got out of control. Huge game from Parker Washington, who goes 6 for 145, made multiple plays after the catch as well. These were like 5-6 yard routes where he then busts through the coverage, runs down the sideline for 40 yards, 50 yards. He was awesome. I am not a Trevor Lawrence guy. I thought Trevor Lawrence played very well today, and I will give him his flowers because he did not make any of the bonehead mistakes that he usually makes. He read the coverage well. He did not force passes. He used his legs when it was appropriate. You got to give Liam Cohen credit, the coach of the Jaguars here, for getting this Jacksonville team to be able to perform week in and week out. This is back-to-back nice wins for the Jags. I don't know what to make of this Jags team because this is a Jaguars defense that also over the last month has been better than Denver, and they played well today. Like you Knicks put up a bunch of yards. It was all garbage time. Like it wasn't him just moving the football up and down the field. The Jaguars become one of the toughest teams for me to rate because this was a very good performance on the road for a team that has now been stacking these good performances on their back and the defense that's not relied on turnovers being very good as well. So I the Jaguars become one of the toughest teams in my mind to rate.
Well, that's unfortunate. So my next question was, what do we do with this Jaguars team? And you said you don't know, and I don't either. And that's why I was going to ask you. It's interesting because I almost feel like if you took out, you know, the team name Jacksonville Jaguars and you label them somebody else, we might have a little bit better of a confidence level on them. But it's because they're Jacksonville, and specifically because we've seen this Trevor Lawrence kind of tail, right? There are games where you go, what are you doing? And that is where the problem is with Jacksonville. I'm one of those guys. I bet Denver, and I really, if it would have been 34-20 Denver, I don't think I'd be that surprised. I did not believe in Jacksonville coming in this game, especially, you know, after what Denver has been building over the last several weeks. I just didn't see this coming. So it's got to mean something, right, that they go into Denver and win this when so many other teams couldn't. But I don't know to what degree I still trust them. I'm with you.
Jacksonville is the what best team in the AFC?
See, I think it's like third or fourth, maybe fourth.
I'd say last week I was adamant. Bills were the best team. Houston was the second best team. And New England was the third best team. Which would make Jacksonville, like and the Chargers, like sitting there in the next grouping, right? Because I don't like the Ravens. I don't like the Steelers. So I'm not picking either of them.
Yeah.
This Jags team... Maybe after this week, I need to reassess my Jags Texans take because I'm not like we'll get to the Texans in a second here. It wasn't pretty.
It never is, though. But let's move on. Yeah. All right. Because we'll get to the Texans here pretty quick. This one, I don't know how much you want to talk about. The Falcons go on the road and beat Arizona 26-19. The Cardinals, they've got life offensively. They just can't stop anybody. Kirk Cousins, I don't know, is he resurrecting his career to get a contract somewhere? I don't know. 26-19 Falcons, like I said, what do you think?
I am gutted that my over did not hit in this game. Total was 48. It was 16-16 at half, 32 points. They did not go over the total. Like the Cardinals are still an over team. It took multiple miracles for this game to stay under. So that to me is the big takeaway here. Nothing really changes with either of these teams. The ceiling for the Falcons not that high. They're going to be able to run the football. Kirk Cousins is fine when he doesn't get pressure. The Cardinals are still an over team. That's really all that I took away from this game.
Fair enough. I don't want to talk about that one either. There's just not a whole lot to take away from the Cardinals that are trying to just play this season out and Atlanta as well. Let's go to one that did matter, the Steelers and the Lions next up here. This, you know, there was some controversy in this game, Mike. I'll let you kind of get going here. But the headline, the Steelers win this one 29-24, a massive win for the Steelers.
How long is DK Metcalf suspended?
It has to be the season, in my opinion.
So for anyone who didn't see it, he goes over to the sidelines, grabs a Lions fan's blue wig, pulls him down, and then punches him.
How does
he end of
the
first half? That was the thing. I was like, doesn't Tomlin bench him? I'm in here like, do I bet live unders on DK Metcalf because he's going to get ejected? Obviously, the refs didn't see it. Apparently, if the refs don't see it, that's not something they can call in on because it wasn't a player that he punched. They can only call down if it's a player that they punch. But a fan, you can punch and not get in trouble until after the game if your coach chooses not to suspend you. So Metcalf does play the second half in a game with the Steelers win 29-24. Game goes over. Lions got bet out to an 8-point favorite in this spot. They lose outright. The time of possession in this game was wild to me. The play that flipped the game, the Kenneth Gainwell catch, which is completely unbelievable in my mind, because Aaron Rodgers, there's 7 seconds left in the half. He's looking downfield, throws it deep to Kenneth Gainwell around the 13-yard line, clearly interfered with, going to be a PI. Gainwell falls down on his back. The ball hits his forearm and magically doesn't bounce anywhere, just kind of deadens on his forearm. He puts it in his hand. He wasn't touched after possession of the football, stands up, runs in the end zone. We're tied at 10 at half. Then the Lions possessed the ball for 51 seconds total in the third quarter. 51 seconds, and they lost that quarter 2-0 because in that 51 seconds, they surrendered to safety to the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Lions' defense stinks. Their secondary is bad. Their offense just looks disjointed still. The fact that you couldn't run the football today, I thought, was a real real sign of what you're dealing with. Gibbs, 7 for 2 yards. Montgomery, 4 for 14, but his long run was 17. So he was 3 for -3 on his other runs. This isn't how you win if you are the Detroit Lions. You can't have Goff throwing 54 times if you are going to win a football game. Really disappointed in the Lions. I don't think either of these teams have any chance in the playoffs, but disappointed in the Lions' performance.
Well, absolutely. I got to ask you right off the bat, because I've been banging this drum for a few weeks, and it's getting less controversial as the season goes along. Are we out on Dan Campbell?
We were out of Dan Campbell when he was 2 years ago, when they should have hired Ben Johnson as the head coach and let Dan Campbell walk. Patrick is like vehement about this as well. And he is right. Like, Ben Johnson is going to go down as I'm not going to say Hall of Fame coach, because we've seen him coach 15 games. That's a little bit of too crazy, but he is going to go down as a very good coach. He already should be mentioned in like the top 10 right now. If you redrafted the NFL from a coaching perspective, Dan Campbell is not in the top 10. Dan Campbell is over his head. He shouldn't be calling plays.
No.
Like, he's not an offensive guru. What is he doing with calling plays? It's showing up, the loss of the coordinators.
You may have discussed this on earlier shows. You probably have. But why did he even do it to begin with? Like, they were in a good spot, and then he's calling plays, and it's like, they're terrible now. So it's crazy to me. I don't get it. I think this was as simple as the Lions don't have a head coach, and the Steelers... Whatever you want to say about Tomlin, I don't know if he's made a deal with the devil. I don't know what. The guy and his team has just looked out of it in parts of the last, 5 years? And here they are again in a perfect spot. It's unbelievable what this guy's done.
I don't know who he's got pictures of, like who he sold his soul to, what it is. Like, Jaylen Warren today, 14 for 143 and 2 touchdowns. He's got juice. Gainwell, I talked about the catch. He also runs for 50 yards. I don't trust the Steelers team in the playoffs,
but
they're going to win the division. I have no interest, and I would be happy to bet against them in the first round. We'll just put it that way. Happy to bet against them when they're at home.
Dude, absolutely. This is the same team we've seen for years now. Like, somehow they're just tough, and they make the playoffs, and then they get beat in the first round. And it's going to be the same. I'm with you 100% on that one. All right. You mentioned the Texans earlier and how you're a little upset with the Texans. I'm going to tell you this. Any win in the NFL is a good win unless you only beat the Raiders by 2 points. Then it's a bad win. 321 Texans, I should say that.
14.5-point favorites. Totals in the high 30s. The game goes over. The Texans did not look like they were going to cover at any point except for when they got the pick six on Geno Smith. But that was the only offensive touchdown they scored until the fourth quarter. Makes it hard to cover 14.5 points. CJ Stroud, not good. The running offense, not great. The play calling, just very vanilla. Just felt like they were trying. Like it felt like they thought they were going to win by 14. They could just sleepwalk through this, and I think the pick six might have actually been bad for them because it gave them the impression that, hey, we are going to. This is fine. We don't have to do anything. Like, it's hard because I don't want to completely turn my back on the Texans team over one game. You're going to have ebbs and flows during the NFL season. They've now won seven straight. That's got to count for something. They have a win over the Jags during that stretch as well, by the way. People seem to forget about that. I still think this is a good football team, but today was concerning.
I think this is a team that can beat anybody and can lose to anybody because I think it's all defense. It's a defensive team. That's it. And I have no idea, Mike, what happened to CJ Stroud. Maybe he just was overinflated by that rookie season. This guy's not very good. I mean, this guy's Bryce Young, honestly. I really believe that. I just don't think this guy, I think we just overhyped him. And look, he was great that rookie year for sure, but this is a team. It's all defense. This defense is elite. I'll take him over anybody. Offensively, man, they got the offensive line is not good either. Let's say that too.
The real problem is that they have no offensive line and no run game. So when they run the ball on first and long, it's second and long. Or when they run it on first and 10, it's second and long. And then all of a sudden it's third and long. And CJ Stroud is trying to deal with a bad offensive line at third and long. It's what happened to him last year, all year. It's happening to him again this year. It's almost an impossible style to try and move the football. You have to throw the football early if you are the Houston Texans. You have to stop running the football on first and second down and just literally let Stroud throw it 50 times. Your better players are on the outside anyway. Use like screen passes and checkdowns and create basically simulated runs through your passing game. Figure out a way to get around your offensive line. Real quick, just so everyone knows, the Texans have five losses on the season. Those five losses are 14-9 against the Rams, where the Rams scored on the final possession, 20-19 against the Bucks, where the Bucks scored on the final possession, 17-10 to the Jags, where the Jags scored on the final possession, 27-19 to the Seahawks, and 18-15 to the Broncos. Those are five playoff teams. Those are the Rams, the Seahawks, the Broncos, and the Jaguars. Top seeds in both conferences. Those are the only losses the Texans have. They can beat anybody. Mm-hmm. Will they? That is a question. But they are capable of beating anybody. This was a disappointing season, and those are your five losses until they ripped off these seven in a row.
Yeah, and most likely they're going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. But the great news about that is, you know, the old adage, defense travels. And you can go win on the road when you've got an elite defense, right? And your offense has just got to do enough. But the defense is always going to keep you in the game. So I'm interested in them as well. I still don't fully trust them. I think they're going to get into a game at some point where they're going to have to put up some points. And I don't think they're going to be able to do it, but that might be deep into the playoffs. We'll kind of see how that shakes out. All right, one more. The game that ended just as we got on the air. The Patriots go into Baltimore and beat the Ravens 28-24. It was a big help. Lamar gets hurt again, Mike. The Ravens season, it's pretty much done.
Yeah, this one hurts combined with that Steelers win. You thought you were going to get a Steelers loss, and then the Ravens game not as important. But with the Steelers win and the Ravens loss, things looking pretty bleak there in Crow Country. The Patriots, like, Drake May was awesome. He was awesome in the fourth quarter. He was really the thing that turned this game around. He was able to use his legs, able to throw the football. Goes for 380, two touchdowns. I'm interested to see what happens in the MVP market with what we saw from Drake May today. Stafford was minus 400 going into the game. He's minus 215. May down to plus 185 now for your MVP. He's good. He's very, yeah. Very good. And he's going to get better. It's scary what they've got going in New England. If you're a Patriots hater, watch out.
You know, he was pretty good in the year last year. And we talked about quarterbacks and making progression. This is the sample. Like, this is the guy. When you say quarterback progression, go look at this guy, Drake May. I mean, he's been fantastic. And you're right. Great coach, a great coaching hire to get Vrabel there with him as well. You know, I think a lot of people were really down on them last week, and that game just slipped through their fingers. But the way I kind of look at it as well is, look, they're way ahead of schedule, and they still split with the Bills, even though that was a gut-wrenching loss. This was a huge win because they look like they might be in a little bit of trouble at times in this game. And I thought it was a big game from Drake May to go on the road, a hostile environment. He's going to get that in a few weeks, and that's going to – well, he may not have to go on the road, actually, but he's going to get environments where the game feels huge, just like this one did tonight. The Ravens, that's a playoff game for the Ravens, right? And he was able to get the job done. And that's a big question mark that I still think, you know, May versus Allen in the playoffs, what's going to happen? Will May kind of crack? he's showing signs that that answer is no. He's going to play very well.
Yeah, and 80% chance of a Ravens win after they score in the fourth quarter to go up 24-13. Touchdowns on back-to-back drives for the Patriots makes it a 28-24 final there. If you are looking to get anything present-wise for your friends, your family, anybody for the holidays, why not make them a smarter, better? Head over to VSiN. We've got the perfect gift for you. Right now, you can take advantage of our holiday special and get a VSiN Pro access through May 1st for just $79. That gives you everything you need, including daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop tools for weekly wide receiver and cornerback matchup edges, 24/7 video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, complete coverage of every major sport through the spring. We're talking March Madness, the NFL Draft, the Masters. We're talking about the Kentucky Derby, Aaron. Oh, yeah. That little thing called the Super Bowl, too, that falls in that window. Don't miss this limited-time holiday special. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe and unwrap your betting edge today. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. As always, we got to rip through the Week 17 lines, Aaron. So let's start at the top here. The Cowboys look ahead was -3, taking on the Commanders. Total was 52.5. We reopen at 5.5, total at 50.5 here. Dallas as your favorite on the road. You like anything here, Aaron?
I don't like the Commanders with the points here. I think the Cowboys have quit, and I think the Commanders with Mariota will play pretty well here. I'll give me the Commanders and the points.
I agree with you. You can get 5.5 at PlayMGM right now. Westgate and Bet365 are at 3. So 5.5s may not stay popular. Also off the board at a couple places. So keep an eye on that game. I agree. Over 3, I'm probably interested in the Commanders. Second game on Christmas Day, Lions -3.5 was the look ahead. 48.5, the total. We reopen Lions -3.5, 44.5, the total here. I don't really have any interest in betting this football game until I know who the Vikings quarterback is. What about you?
Yeah, you hit the nail right on the head. No interest for me on this one. And you know, who knows where the Lions heads are at as well. So we'll just have to see. Maybe by Thursday, by 3:30, you're sick of the family. Maybe you're going to bet this game on Christmas Day. But as of right now, absolutely not.
Oh, I will bet something. I just am not going to bet anything until I know who's going to play quarterback for the Vikings. Last Christmas Day game here, Broncos look ahead was -5.5, total 39.5. This one's changed a little. Reopens 11.5-12. With a total at 37.5. So Broncos -12 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Any interest?
I would take the Broncos, honestly. What are the Chiefs going to look like? It's Christmas Day. They've already quit. Third string quarterback. Give me the Broncos.
Yeah, team total Chiefs under. Also something I might be interested in there once we get that officially out. We'll move to Saturday. Two games. We've got the Texans look ahead. -1.5 against the Chargers. Total was 39.5. We reopen Texans -1.5. Or Chargers -1.5. It's available at both places, as well as pick 39.5 the total. This is interesting. I know you like the Chargers. You know I like the Texans. Which way are we going here?
This is a tough one because we talked about how the Chargers have the protection problems that the Texans are going to bring it. Charger defense is good too. Give me the under 39.5. I like that. I don't want to take a side.
Good job by you. I agree. Under 39.5 would be the play there. I'd see if I can get a 40. That number matters. So I'd keep an eye on that one, see if I can get that. Ravens and Packers. Packers -3 on the look ahead, 46.5. Also Saturday night. By the way, that means it is a normal week to see if we get Jordan Love back. No official news from the concussion protocol. We won't know until Thursday or Friday. Reopen right where we stayed. Packers -3, 46.5. So that assumes Love is in.
Yeah, and I lean Packers if he's in for sure. I think the Ravens are pretty much done it, and we don't know Lamar's status. I would imagine he's not playing.
I agree. Patriots -9.5 at the Jets. Total 44.5 in this spot. If you look on the look ahead, reopen at the Patriots -9, 44 as the total. Do you think the Patriots can go on the road and cover basically a double-digit spread here against New York Jets?
Yes, I absolutely do.
I wanted this to be in teaser land. I wanted this to be 8.5 so that I could tease this game. I don't think that they're going to give me that that opportunity. So I don't feel the need to rush the window to bet 9. So I'll let this bake, see if I can ever get any point as a teaser. But it would be Patriots or pass it under the number of 10 there. Steelers -3.5 on the look ahead at the Browns. 35.5 your total in that one. Reopen is the Steelers -4.5 to 5.5. Reopening at 35 or 34.5, depending on where you search. not surprised we saw movement up toward the Steelers. I expected the market to upgrade them. I'm not sure that they should have. I think I'm Browns here.
I'm not touching this game because I think I'm Browns too. And when I think I'm Browns, I don't bet because betting the Cleveland Browns is bad for your health. I'm not going to do that, but I'm with you. I wouldn't want to lay 4.5 with Pittsburgh on the road here.
I think I'm going to be betting the Browns. And I think Myles Garrett breaks the sack record. One half a sack away, I think he breaks it against Aaron Rodgers. Maybe we'll get some controversy where Aaron Rodgers just falls over, and that's how he does it, just to continue the trend there. Jaguars look ahead, 5.5 at the Colts, 44.5 on the total. Reopens here at anywhere from 6.5 to 7, Jaguars, 46.5 on the total. I would get the sub a touchdown on the Jags now. I think they continue to win.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, we'll see what the Colts do tomorrow. But this feels like just the Colts are done, basically.
Could be Anthony Richardson in that game as well. He got cleared. We'll see if he is going to be your starter next week for this Colts team. Probably not a great thing. Saints -1.5 at the Titans, 39.5 the total on the look ahead. We reopen here with, let me find it, the Saints -2.5, 3 at the Titans. Oh boy, I'll be betting the Saints as soon as this is over.
Absolutely. No, I'm with you. We talked about the Saints. They've got a lot of life, and I think they beat the Titans. I'm with you.
Yeah, you can get 2.5s pretty much everywhere. There's a 1.5 at Westgate. Looks like there's a 2. The DraftKings has a 1.5. Caesars is at 2.5 already. So I like, if you wake up, if you're listening to this in the morning, if you're listening to tonight, bet New Orleans before it gets bet out. New Orleans is going to be another sharp side this week. We saw them go from 4 to 7. My guess is this game closes between 5 and 6. So I think I'll take the Saints here. Well, that might be aggressive because they're on the road, but they'll close over 4. Give me the Saints here.
4.5 at least.
Give me the Saints here. Let bet it early, bet it often. Cardinals at the Bengals. Bengals -5.5, total 51.5 on the look ahead. This is just a game made for offense. Reopens Bengals -7, total 50.5, all the way to 52.5. So some disagreement in the market, circa 52. Give me the over 51.5. Find that one if it's available. I think that is a great number.
100% agree. I mean, we talked about how the Cardinals didn't go over, but they're still an over team, and the Bengals are all obviously an over team as well. I'm with you on that one.
Giants -3 at the Raiders, 43.5 was the look ahead. Giants reopen here as a 1 to 1.5 point favorite over the Raiders. Do you believe in Las Vegas, the number one pick bowl here? Both teams 2-12.
This is a game that I will watch just to kind of laugh. I'm not betting either one of these teams because, no, I don't believe in Vegas, and no, I don't believe in the Giants. And I just, again, like the Browns, I think it's bad for your health to bet either one of these teams.
Prove it to me, game of the week. The Philadelphia Eagles take on the Buffalo Bills. -3, the look ahead for the Buffalo Bills, total at 46.5. We reopen -2.5, -3, split at 44.5 and 45. Bills -2.5 or Eagles +3, Aaron?
Listen, I like the Bills a lot in this spot. Tell me I'm crazy, but I think Buffalo -2.5 at home against it. I think no matter what you say about the Bills, I do think they're together. I think, you know, they're all on the same page. The Eagles, I'm still not sold on that. So I really like the Bills in this spot.
I agree with you. It's Bills or pass. I'm not going to run to bet it, but it is Bills or pass for me. Bears at 49ers -3 for the Niners was the look ahead, total 50.5. We reopen for our Sunday night game here at 50.5 and 49ers -3. Ooh, I think I like the Bears.
Oh gosh. I think I like the Niners.
There we go.
Dude, I got to disagree here. I just don't trust this Bears team to go on the road after that huge win. We'll see what the Niners do. I'm speculating the Niners are going to win on Monday night. I like the 49ers in this spot. I really do.
I would not bet the Niners now because I'd want to see if anyone gets hurt tomorrow night. The threes will mostly, I don't see this jumping to 3.5 if they thump the Colts. Like, no one's going to upgrade them huge off beating the crap out of Phillip Rivers. So I think you can hold off and wait a little bit on this one if you want. But I do like... The over might actually be the play here, 50. The Niners defense is terrible and they're going to score points. So maybe 50 over, but I would lean toward the Bears there if I was going to play anything. Monday night game, closing it out, the Rams -8.5 at the Falcons, total 48.5 on the look ahead. Reopens Ram -8. So dropping a half point there, total reopens a half point higher at 49. This is a Rams teaser.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to lay the 8, but I wouldn't want to play the Falcons either. It's going to be a stay-away game for me as far as playing it one way or another with the line. I don't know how the Rams will kind of bounce back. That was a brutal loss. Now they got to go back on the road. They got to go on the Eastern, you know, time zone, at least not the East Coast, but the Eastern time zone. The Falcons with Cousins, I know Cousins isn't great. They've been better. I don't really want to lay 8.5 points with the Rams here.
Yeah, two just terrible Thursday night losses for the Rams against the 49ers when they were all banged up, and then against the Seahawks. You win either of those games, you're probably the one seed and win your division. You lose them both on Thursday nights, you are probably the six. That's how much it changes there.
Yeah.
As always, we close it out with the Monday night game. 49ers taking on the Colts tomorrow night. Right now, Colts minus five, and I'm sorry, 49ers minus 5.5. Total sitting at 45. Aaron, where do you think about this Colts Niners Monday night football game?
It just feels like Niners all the way for me. I just think the Colts are done. I thought they had a good, you know, quote unquote last stand last week where they played as hard as they could and they still couldn't get it done. I just have no, you know, hope for their offense there. I think they might play hard again. I think at the end of the day, the 49ers just the best team. I'm all over the 49ers in this one.
I agree with you. I think the Colts are going to try and do the same thing we saw last week against Seattle. Yeah. They're going to run Jonathan Taylor into the ground. They're going to play the short passing game with Phillip Rivers because he cannot stretch the field. The Niners know it's coming. And like Salah is a very good defensive coordinator. Whatever you feel about him as a head coach, very good defensive coordinator. I think they're able to scheme up against this Colts team. And the Niners offense, we're not going to have Pearsall. Everybody else, incredibly healthy. You got McCaffrey, you've got Kittle, you got Jennings, you've got Brock Purdy back there. You have an offensive line that's put together. I think this is a Niners offense that's able to get the better of the Colts defense. I'll lay the 5.5 here with the Niners. Aaron's going to do us for us here at Sharp Money. Thank you very much for filling in, jumping in. I appreciate it. We will see you again next week. Same time, same place for this show, Mr. Halterman. Any parting words before I close this puppy out?
Well, listen, I appreciate you having me on. I always love doing shows with you. As you know, we do horse racing show every week as well. So, we know what we're doing when we're working together, right? So, no, it's great to be on. I know the fans will probably want Patrick back. He'll be back. Don't worry. He's just out enjoying a nice holiday there.
Yep, we're going to have another show on Wednesday. So that will drop on Wednesday for the Thursday games as we get all the information, all the updated injury news, and understand everything that's going on in the market. So make sure you tune back in Sharp Money here on Wednesday on Christmas Day. You know, there's going to be family around. I'm sorry, Christmas Eve. There's going to be family around. There's going to be conversations you want to be a part of. Pop your headphones in. Turn on Sharp Money. Make a little money. We had a very good week this week. Hopefully we can have another good one next week. Till next time, good luck with all your bets.